Tonight, President Biden in Buffalo paying his respects to the victims of the deadly mass shooting, condemning what he called a racist rampage, calling white supremacy a poison allowed to fester and grow in this country. The president and the first lady paying tribute to the 10 victims killed and the three people wounded in the deadly mass shooting at the Tops Market. All of the victims killed were black. The president honoring them, going name by name, sharing their stories one by one, calling the racist attack an act of domestic terrorism, promising evil will not win. And he called out those in media and politics who he says are fueling some of this for profit. Mary Bruce standing by at the White House. The fast-moving investigation, authorities tonight revealing disturbing new details about this 589-page document that they say the alleged gunman posted online, including the hate-filled plot to target black victims. That document appearing to show the suspect also wrote about abusing animals and the cache of weapons hidden in his bedroom. Tonight, new insight. What did his parents know, and who else had access to his post? Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo. Chilling new details tonight about a deadly plane crash. Authorities now say one of the pilots intentionally crashed the plane. Sources confirming the flight data suggests one of the pilots intentionally put the passenger jet into a fatal nosedive, slamming into a mountain in China, killing all 132 people on board. The alarming new headline tonight amid this nationwide baby formula shortage, now two children hospitalized in Tennessee. Doctors now saying their bodies did not tolerate the switch to a different formula. The pandemic tonight and the FDA now authorizing Pfizer booster shots for children ages 5 to 11. The CDC likely to follow. Could boosters for younger children now be available within days? Tonight, the high-stakes primary elections underway in five states and the hotly contested Pennsylvania Senate race, including TV doctor Mehmet Oz, where this race stands tonight. The unexplained mysteries in the sky for the first time in more than 50 years. Congress holding a hearing on UFOs, revealing how many military encounters in the sky that are still not explained. And a new round of severe storms tonight. Several states right now on alert for possible tornadoes, damaging winds and hail. Record triple-digit heat in Texas and now soaring temperatures moving into the Northeast.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and it's great to have you with us here on a Tuesday night. And we begin tonight with President Biden and the First Lady in Buffalo, where 10 lives were taken in an attack authorities say was driven by racist hate. The president spending more than an hour and a half meeting with the families today and then speaking to the country, condemning racism, white supremacy, calling it a poison, saying no more, and calling out those in the media and politics who the president says are giving this hate oxygen for political gain and for profit. The president and first lady paying their respects at this makeshift memorial that continues to grow tonight. The president later speaking before the nation, giving the microphone to the first lady, Jill Biden, first. She spoke about the horror and her message to the families. The president meeting with local leaders outside the Tops Market and after meeting privately with the grieving families, then telling the American people that this was a murderous, racist rampage that brought so much pain, calling it domestic terrorism. ABC senior White House correspondent Mary Bruce leading us off tonight.
In Buffalo today, President Biden visiting the site of what he called a murderous, racist rampage, spending over an hour and a half meeting with the families of the 10 people killed, emotionally remembering the victims one by one.
Andre McNeil, 53, worked at a restaurant, went to buy his three-year-old son a birthday cake. His son selling a birthday, ask him where's daddy.
The president, blunt.
What happened here is simple and straightforward. Terrorism. Terrorism. Domestic terrorism. Violence inflicted in the service of hate.
The president calling out those who espouse replacement theory, the racist belief allegedly embraced by the shooting suspect that there is a conspiracy to replace white Americans with people of color.
A hate that through the media and politics, the internet, has radicalized angry, alienated, lost, and isolated individuals into falsely believing that they will be replaced.
Biden assailing the politicians and members of the media who amplify the bigoted ideology.
And I condemn those who spread the lie for power, political gain, and for profit. White supremacy is a poison. It's a poison running through our, it really is. Running through our body politic. And it's been allowed to fester and grow right in front of our eyes.
The president declaring this hate cannot be the story of our time.
We have to refuse to live in a country where black people going about a weekly grocery shopping can be gunned down by weapons of war deployed in a racist cause.
And Mary Bruce joins us tonight from the White House. And Mary, another president now comforting the nation after another horrific mass shooting in America. And we took note today while watching this together that he gave the microphone to First Lady Dr. Jill Biden first.
David, the First Lady by the president's side throughout the day, visiting the memorial and meeting with the victims' families. And before the president spoke, she thanked them for, quote, opening up your hearts to us. The First Lady visibly emotional, saying they too know what it's like to lose a piece of your soul. David.
All right, Mary Bruce leading us off here. In the meantime, the investigation tonight, troubling new revelations from documents posted on social media and now obtained by ABC News. Authorities believe written by the gunman and new insight into whether his parents had any idea this plot was in the works. ABC's Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo again tonight.
Tonight, as the president and first lady paid their respects to the 10 victims killed here in Buffalo, officials again calling the attack on a Tops supermarket premeditated evil.
The level of hatred in the heart and head of this individual is stunning.
This as more details emerge from a 589-page document containing posts the suspect allegedly wrote on the social media platform Discord. Authorities say the document shows how 18-year-old Peyton Gendron carefully plotted the attack for several months, first visiting the grocery store on March 8th, where he was questioned by a store security guard. That document also including sketches of the supermarket with outlines of various aisles that he could navigate around quickly. The suspect also allegedly describing the market as the first location he would strike, then black people walking down the street and another store down the road. And tonight, that document also appearing to show that the 18-year-old took part in animal abuse. In posts, the suspect alleging that his mother gave him a box to bury a cat he killed. Sources tell ABC News that some of those posts on Discord were made in a private group. It's unclear who had access to the posts or who saw them. And tonight, we're learning more about this woman, Julie Harwell. Seen on the ground, completely distraught. Her partner and their 8-year-old daughter in a different part of the store when the gunfire erupted, fearing the worst.
Well, first you hear the gunshots, and then I look down the aisle, I see all the people running, so I just grab my daughter, ran in the back.
The family finally reunited 20 minutes later. Harwell speaking with our affiliate WKBW.
That was the longest wait I've ever had in my life.
And tonight, this supermarket in the heart of this tight-knit, historically black neighborhood, an oasis in what used to be a food desert, remains closed amid the investigation.
And Stephanie Ramos in Buffalo again tonight. Stephanie, that document appearing to shed some light now on whether the suspect may have hid his plans from his parents.
Yes, David, authorities are looking through hundreds of messages they say the suspect posted online. He appears to write about how his parents had no idea he was collecting powerful weapons in his bedroom and that he was selling and buying silver coins to finance his ammo purchases. We do know the FBI has spoken to his parents. David.
All right, Stephanie, thank you. Now to the other deadly mass shooting, this one at a California church tonight. The 68-year-old suspect has now been arraigned on state charges. The FBI has now launched a hate crimes investigation. 68-year-old David Chow, a U.S. citizen born in China, now charged with 10 counts, including murder. Authorities say as the congregation gathered, the suspect secured the doors, placed Molotov cocktails, and then opened fire, killing one, injuring five others. Parishioners fought back, pinning him down and then tying him up. Authorities say Chow had a grievance against Taiwan, calling this a politically motivated hate crime. The FBI tonight also opening a hate crimes investigation after a shooting at a Korean-owned hair salon in Dallas. Police arresting Jeremy Smith for last week's attack. The arrest warrant claiming he had, quote, delusions about Asian Americans harming him. Three Korean women were wounded in the attack. Investigators are now looking for possible links to other recent shootings at Asian-run businesses. Overseas tonight, and to a chilling new report, authorities believe a pilot deliberately steered a passenger jet into a mountain in China. This comes from the investigation into the China Eastern passenger jet that plunged to Earth earlier this year, killing 132. Sources telling ABC News the black boxes reveal that one of the pilots may have intentionally crashed that plane. ABC's Gio Benitez covers aviation.
Tonight, in a story first reported by the Wall Street Journal, investigators now believe the 737 that slammed into a mountain in China last March was deliberately crashed. Sources confirming to ABC News that officials analyzing the flight data say it clearly points to someone in the cockpit intentionally pushing the plane into a fatal nosedive. All 132 people on board were killed. Experts also cite evidence that the plane's landing gear was never deployed and the flaps were not engaged, both of which would have happened if the pilot or co-pilot was trying to land the plane. Investigators believe the near vertical descent, as seen in this video, would have required intentional force.
If you see a dive like this, that means somebody is forcing that airplane over. That's what indicates that this was not an accident.
According to officials, investigators also looked into the personal life and background of one of the pilots and believe he may have been struggling through certain issues that remain undisclosed right before the crash. The new details, a chilling reminder of the German Wings horror in 2015, the co-pilot locking the other pilot out of the cockpit and bringing down the Airbus A320 in the French Alps, killing 150 people. That co-pilot had been previously treated for suicidal tendencies.
The most chilling aspect of this, even just with the initial speculation that it might have been a pilot who wanted to kill himself and take everybody else with him, is that it has happened before. Now, we've got to be much more aggressive now in the international community in finding out how we can make sure it never, ever happens again.
And David, tonight, China has not publicly said what it believes caused this crash. And tonight, Boeing does not believe that there is any mechanical issue with any of its 737 jets in service around the world. David.
Gio Benitez tonight. Gio, thank you. This evening, there is also a troubling new development in the baby formula supply crisis. We have learned this evening that two children were hospitalized in Tennessee after they were fed alternatives to the specialized formula they need and that their parents could not find. Here's ABC's Ariel Reshef.
Tonight, a dire consequence of that nationwide shortage. Two children hospitalized in Tennessee after their parents were forced to find an alternative to their specialized formula made by Abbott.
They were dehydrated. I mean, they needed fluid. And again, because these kids have short bowel, it's not like you can just give them rehydration fluids orally. They needed IV hydration.
Doctors say the toddler and preschooler from two different families needed that special type of formula because of intestinal conditions. Both kids had an adverse reaction to a non-Abbott brand and blend. The hospital has run out of the formula they need, so they are treating one patient with fluids. The other patient was released after doctors adapted a formula designed for adults.
We had to take a formula that's not really designed for what we're using it for, and we've had to create some additions. The base is an adult formula and alter it to where it will work for the patient.
The Abbott plant that makes specialized formulas may reopen in 2 weeks after an agreement with the FDA, but it would take up to two more months to get their products onto shelves. And while the FDA is moving to import brands of formula not currently sold in the U.S., that could also take weeks.
And doctors say that changing formula for most kids is okay, but as we have seen for some kids with special health concerns, they may not be able to tolerate another formula. So doctors say that you should speak with your pediatrician or treating physicians to explore every option. David.
Yeah, this was really alarming to hear today. Ariel, thank you. There's also news on COVID tonight. The FDA has now authorized booster shots of the Pfizer vaccine for children 5 to 11. The CDC expected to issue guidance later this week. Many doctors remain concerned because more than 70% of 5 to 11-year-olds haven't been fully vaccinated, and new child COVID infections are now at their highest point since February, and hospital admissions now up 57% in just the last month. And tonight in New York City, the city is now at a high-risk alert level because of what we're seeing here with increased pressure on the healthcare system. For now, masks indoors are recommended but not required. Tonight, the high-stakes primary elections underway in five states, among them the hotly contested Pennsylvania Senate race, including TV doctor Mehmet Oz on the Republican side and a popular Democrat on the other, the lieutenant governor who had a stroke just days before the primary. where this primary stands tonight on both sides, and ABC's Rachel Scott in Pennsylvania.
It's perhaps the most watched Republican Senate primary of the year, pitting a TV doctor against the former hedge fund CEO and a right-wing commentator who has dominated the last few days of the campaign.
What's happening with you and your family?
Kathy Barnett's surge scrambling the race. The candidate under fire for anti-Islam and homophobic statements and for pushing lies about the 2020 election. And just this week, video surfaced showing Barnett marching toward the Capitol on January 6th. Today, defending herself.
We prayed for our country. We laughed. We met new friends. We got on the bus and we came back home.
We tried to ask her about it.
Do you have any regrets about being there on January 6th? Any regrets at all? Did you go inside the Capitol that day?
No, she did not. Anything to the contrary is a lie.
Barnett presents herself as the Trumpiest candidate, but the former president is backing one of her rivals.
How are you feeling today?
Doing very well.
TV's Dr. Mehmet Oz.
Kathy Barnett, your opponent, has gained momentum. Are you confident that with Trump's endorsement, you will win tonight's primary?
Yes. I think Kathy metaphorically had her moment in the sun.
At his election eve rally, Trump calling in, saying Oz, not Barnett, can go all the way.
He's going to have the easiest time of all in the election itself in November.
And that's all one voter, Pam Dick, needed to hear. She was torn between Oz and Barnett.
And are you voting for Dr. Oz?
Yes.
Why?
Trump really feels he's the right person. And I trust Trump.
But a third Republican in the race says Trump picked the wrong candidate. David McCormick is married to the former president's one-time deputy national security advisor.
It's extremely important that we put the best candidate forward, that is credibility, experience, resilience. I think I'm the best candidate for that.
And David, tonight a major curveball in the Democratic Senate primary. John Fetterman, who has been the front runner in that race, revealed just days before today's primary that he suffered a stroke. He's in the hospital recovering, tweeting out this photo of him casting an emergency absentee ballot. And then just hours before polls closed, we learned that he had to undergo surgery to get a pacemaker. Tonight, his rivals are wishing him well. David.
Big race, Rachel Scott, tonight. Thank you. To Capitol Hill in the first congressional hearing in half a century on what the military calls unidentified aerial phenomena, what the rest of us call UFOs, and hundreds of military encounters still unexplained tonight. Here's Terry Moran.
The military calls them unidentified aerial phenomena, UFOs, in other words.
My gosh.
They've mystified us for decades, but they also may be a real national security concern. Today, a House Intelligence Subcommittee held the first congressional hearing on these close encounters in more than half a century.
We want to know what's out there as much as you want to know what's out there.
Pentagon officials now say there have been close to 400 military encounters with things in the sky they cannot currently explain. That's up from 144 reported last year. Pentagon officials avoided speculation but admitted how baffling this is.
I can't point to something that definitively was not man-made, but I can point to a number of examples in which remain unresolved.
Some incidents have been debunked, like this famous so-called pyramid video leaked in 2021.
Whoa, this is getting close.
Look at that thing.
Officials couldn't explain it at the time, but they now say it's drones in the sky, distorted by a night vision lens to look like flying pyramids. The Pentagon says it wants to destigmatize the whole issue of these UFOs in order to encourage more pilots and other military personnel to report whatever it is they're seeing in the skies above America. David?
Really fascinating. Terry Moran in Washington. Terry, thank you. To the war in Ukraine tonight, despite Vladimir Putin's threats of retaliation, both Finland and Sweden announcing that they will jointly submit their applications for NATO membership tomorrow. And tonight here, new images of those injured Ukrainian fighters, more than 200 evacuated from the steel plant in Mariupol. Russia tonight calling it a surrender, Ukraine calling it a prisoner swap, and President Zelensky praising those soldiers for their heroic resistance. When we come back here, the breaking headline coming in, rescuers trying to save teenagers trapped in a sand collapse on the beach. We're also tracking severe storms, potentially damaging winds in the coming hours here.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer.
We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Tonight, emergency crews are on the scene of a beach rescue in Toms River, New Jersey. The images coming in now, authorities say the teens, a boy and a girl, were digging a 10-foot hole in the sand when it collapsed on them. Reports say one of the teens has been pulled free. The other remains trapped at this hour. No word on their conditions. Authorities nationwide have warned of the dangers of digging those holes on the beach because of collapse concerns. To the index, and tonight we're tracking a new round of severe storms moving into the Midwest. Nebraska, Kansas, Iowa, and Missouri all at risk for possible tornadoes, dangerous winds and hail, and enhanced risk in several areas, including Kansas City, Omaha, and Lincoln, Nebraska. Texas reporting record triple-digit heat, Dallas topping 90 degrees for the 10th day in a row. Intense heat moving into the Northeast by the weekend, high 80s and 90s expected. Before we go tonight, the images of another president and first lady paying their respects after a mass shooting in America. President Biden, his hand to his heart, the first lady by his side, offering a prayer at the growing makeshift memorial in Buffalo. Another American president consoling a community. President Biden telling grieving families and neighbors, we are here to stand with you, grieve with you. The first lady thanked them for allowing them to come, pay their respects. I'm David Muir. I'll see you right back here tomorrow. Good night.